Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. So glad you can join me where I am every week right here on WLIW 88.3 FM Southampton, serving Eastern Long Island and Southern Connecticut, 96.9 in Western Suffolk, and streaming at wliw.org/radio and on your favorite streaming platforms. Each show is archived on my website at annliguori.com and distributed on my podcast via Audio Boom and iTunes. There is so much happening in Ireland, particularly in the spectacular southwest of the country. The Walker Cup comes to historic Lahinch Golf Club. The Amgen Irish Open heads to Doonbeg. And then next September, the eyes of the golf world will turn to Adair Manor for the 2027 Ryder Cup. Well, in this edition of Sports Interview, I take you to Ireland for conversations with two people who know the country and its golf landscape extremely well. First, I visit with Alison Metcalf, Executive Vice President of Tourism Ireland for North America, Australia, and New Zealand. Alison shares her perspective on this extraordinary stretch of major golf events, why Ireland continues to be such a popular destination for American golfers and travelers, and what makes the southwest of Ireland such a special place to visit. Then I catch up with longtime friend Brian Shaw, head golf pro at Trump International Golf Links and Hotel Ireland in Doonbeg. Brian has been at Doonbeg since before the course officially opened back in 2002, and he takes us inside the excitement surrounding the Amgen Irish Open, the championship field, the unique challenge of the links, and what players and fans can expect when one of Ireland's premier golf championships comes to County Clare. The Walker Cup at Lahinch, the Irish Open at Doonbeg, and the Ryder Cup at Adair Manor. There may be no better time to celebrate golf in Ireland. That's all coming up in this edition of Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. You know, the country of Ireland is entering an extraordinary stretch of golf visibility. The Walker Cup at Lahinch, September 4th through the 6th. The Amgen Irish Open at Doonbeg, the week of September 7th, followed by the Ryder Cup at Adair Manor in September 2027, while new courses such as Curraghloe Links and the golf hotel properties such as the Hawthorn at Galway Bay expand the product even more. Well, joining me to discuss all the exciting activities happening in Ireland is Alison Metcalf, Executive Vice President, Tourism Ireland, North America, Australia, and New Zealand. Alison and her team are doing an excellent job in promoting and marketing Ireland to golfers and non-golfers alike, showcasing not only the country's extraordinary golf, but everything that makes Ireland such a compelling destination. Hey, Alison, welcome to Talkin' Golf.
Great to be back, Anne. Always fun to talk to you.
It's always great to have you on. As you know, Ireland is one of my favorite golf destinations, and it is so exciting right now. I mean, you have the Walker Cup, you have the Irish Open, you have the Ryder Cup in really a remarkable short window, plus significant golf development. So would you say this has to be one of the most exciting periods for golf tourism in Ireland?
I think it has to be, without a doubt. As you know, we've Ireland has established an incredible track record now for hosting major international golf events. Only need to look back to last year, to the very successful, Open Championship, which attracted like 278,000 visitors. So it's really exciting. With all of the events that you've just mentioned, we have a huge opportunity to really ramp up our global marketing activity, particularly here in the United States. And I think to add to that, we have such an incredible group of golf ambassadors out on tour, whether, you know, it's at the amateur level, but obviously on tour with Rory and Shane and Parik Harrington on the Legends Tour as well. So there's so much going on. So we have a huge opportunity. And demand for Irish golf, I have to say, is second to none at the moment. So really excited. It's never been better.
It really has never been better, but you know, golfers in the United States have had a love affair
with Ireland in what, say, the last 20, 25 years. What are you seeing now, Allison? Is the American golf traveler changing in terms of age, expectations, perhaps the length of stay or the type of experience they're looking for?
I think that, I mean, you've got sort of three types of golfers. You've got the hardcore golfers, typically, generally the guys that are going over groups of 8 or 12, and they just want to golf, 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 playing 18, 36 holes a day. I think we have certainly seen the age is skewed a bit younger. So we've got that cohort, and that's the main cohort. Then we've also seen incredible growth in couples golf. Couples traveling to play golf, and again looking to get off the beaten track a little bit more. Often when the couples are traveling, one of the partners may have already golfed in Ireland, and then you've got the group that want to play some golf when they travel. So other things, things to do and see off the golf course become a bigger consideration. In terms of length of stay, average length of stay is about 6 days, about a week. And in terms of what they're looking for, I mean, it's they're going primarily for the links golf. We're home to 400, the 400 great golf courses, but more than one third of the world's links course. So it's the links golf that is primarily, the key driver for why they're going in the first place. And then, of course, all the other things to do and see. As you know, Anne, only too well, a golf trip to the island of Ireland is more than just the golf itself. It's about the complete package. It's the people, it's the hospitality, it's that great 19th hole, the other great things to do and see along the way.
You know what I'm noticing as well, Allison? There are more women's golf trips being organized going to Ireland. A lot of people at my club here in Southampton, at Southampton Golf Club, a lot of the women are saying, "You got to take me over there, Anne. Let's do a trip." And I know a lot of female tour operators that are putting, women groups together to play these links courses. So that seems to be new and different. I mean, it's great to see, just women going over there as well amongst each other.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and that we've seen that growth over several years. And I think when women travel, things like the accommodation perhaps become more of a consideration. Health and wellness, other things to do off the golf course, and of course, food is becoming increasingly important. I mean, Ireland offers a great culinary offering for all golfers. But no, it's great to see women's golf, and it's also good to see families. We attract a lot of multi-generational groups to Ireland, so grandparents, parents, and grandkids. And golf is often a key component also of that trip, along with other activities. So there's something for everybody. And I think the variety of courses that we have, right the way from the signature courses down to some of the more hidden gems, as well as some of the fantastic parkland courses and resort courses, are also appealing depending upon, who's traveling and what the traveler type is.
Absolutely. Scott and I love to explore golf courses and the scenery and all the things there are to do in Ireland. And then thinking about families going over there. I mean, what a great destination. You play golf with your children, and then you can do great sightseeing. And as you say, the culinary, I'll get to that in a little bit, but it has something for everyone. And of course, you have the Walker Cup at Lahinch, then the Irish Open at Doonbeg a week later. And obviously, these tournaments, these mega international events, Alison, will put County Clare and Lynx Golf on the international stage. So, how does Tourism Ireland turn viewers of these events into future visitors, perhaps?
Well, what we do around all of these golf, we really ramp up our marketing activity. So, given the fact that all of the events you've talked about are basically being hosted on pretty world-class links courses, because of the high profile of those courses, we ramp up our marketing around on digital and on the streaming channels. We're targeting golfers. We want to be part of that conversation. So, with the Ryder Cup, obviously, is the next big one for us next year. We've ramped up our global marketing already. It's going to be the centenary event of the Ryder Cup. It's great to have the Ryder Cup coming back to Ireland, and of course, Ireland has played such an important role, a lot of our players in the Ryder Cup over many, many years. So we will be ramping up our activity, working with golf media, influencers, advertising. We're working with all of the golf tour operators to get that story out, not only about the courses where the tournament's being played, but the opportunities to build trips around those events. And many Americans certainly will travel for those bigger events, for the Open Championship, for Ryder Cup. And they either want to go for the event and golf pre or post, or they might go the following year, because they've seen the broadcast coverage of these events is huge, absolutely huge, and the economic benefit to Ireland is massive. So it's a one-off opportunity for us, and we continue to build that activity. It's such an important market for us here in North America, especially.
So say somebody is planning a trip to Adair Manor next September 2027, which obviously it's in Adair, which is a beautiful little village in the southwest of Ireland, south of Limerick. What would your recommendation be, per se, Alison, for somebody who wants to, go to the Ryder Cup, and either before they go to the Ryder Cup or after, go to visit a golf destination? What do you recommend?
Yeah, well, I think there's lots of options. I mean, I think that the great thing is that Ireland is divided into these different golfing regions, and nowhere is too far. So I think a couple of options I would suggest. I mean, before traveling down to the Ryder Cup, maybe think about an itinerary in Northern Ireland and the Northwest. And you spent a lot of time in that part of the world, but you could begin, for example, in County Down, and you could take in Ardglass and then play Royal County Down. Then you could head north and take in Royal Portrush, Castle Rock, and Port Stewart. And along that beautiful Causeway coastal route, you've got lots to do and see. And then head over to Donegal. So you could look at, Rosapenna, Ballyliffin, and Donegal Golf Club, and then gradually work your way further south. So that would be one option. You could take 5 or 6 days to do that. Or another option would be to look at the west and the southwest. And again, I would say sort of starting maybe in Sligo, and then again working your way down. So you could look at Ross's Point, Connemara Links, and then come down to Lahinch and Tralee. So that would give you a week's long trip. And the other thing about that is there's great things to do and see on the way, so great attractions. So look at the north and the northwest, or look at the west and the southwest, and then you can easily get back to Adair for the tournament.
What I recommend, because I've done this every year for the last, say, 5 years, is fly into Shannon on the West Coast, which is such a great airport, and play Dune Bay, or if you can get on Adair Manor after the Ryder Cup. I love all those courses in the Southwest, but then take that drive to the Northwest as you recommended. It's about 3.5 hours to Carn, Carne, which is in this little town called Belmullet, and the scenery is just stunning. And I just, the drive goes so fast because it's such a beautiful, such a gorgeous scenic drive. And I understand, Alison, that you were at Carn recently. Tell us about Carn, because I'm a little partial as the president of the Carn Golf Club International Members Association. It's a 2-year term. You had the opportunity to visit with Fiona and with Jerry, and I hope Karin gave you a big welcome.
Oh, it's fantastic. And I think for anybody that is traveling into that northwest, you have to make it out to Carn. As you said, the drive is incredible. The scenery is vast, it is rugged. The day we were there, it was just stunning sunshine. And literally, I mean, if you keep heading west, the next stop is America. I mean, that's the next parish over. The work that they've done on the course, I mean, the work around the bunkers and everything is absolutely tremendous. The welcome in the clubhouse, and we stayed in Belmullet, and we stayed at the Talbot there. A lovely, comfortable, boutique-y hotel. Great place to stay. Great little restaurants and bars and things. So it really is a very unique and authentic experience. And the golf is fantastic.
I love driving around Ireland. I mean, to me, it's just I get love getting lost in on the beautiful countryside, and it doesn't seem far to go anywhere because of the beauty.
No.
So let's go back to the Irish Open, which has a very strong field this year. Rory McIlroy, as you know, is returning as defending champion. Shane Lowry, who won it as an amateur back in 2009. Jon Rahm will be playing. Padraig Harrington, one of my all-time favorites. It will be his 31st Irish Open. Alison, what does it mean for Dunebag, now it's Trump Ireland International, to be hosting the Irish Open for the first time?
Oh, I think it means everything. I mean, I think obviously the course is second to none. I mean, they've invested so much in making sure it is absolutely, in top form and top class. It's a challenge. It's located in such a beautiful part of the coastline. So to have the tournament such as the Irish Open with such a top tier field, it means everything in terms of the broadcast coverage as well. People will be watching, and from our perspective, I think, if people are watching, it'll give them so much inspiration to want to travel to Lahinch, sorry, to Doonbeg, and also just to explore that coastline. So there's so much to do and see in that area. So I think it's fantastic. I mean, and it hasn't been hosted there before, so it's great the way that the course gets, the tournament gets moved around every single year.
There's a real national pride for the Irish Open, Alison. The golfers over there are very knowledgeable. They have a lot of pride for, their countrymen and for those from their same county, right? So
They
I
absolutely
expect
do, yeah.
the atmosphere just to be electric.
It will be electric, and I think what we found with all of the golf tournaments in Ireland, whether you're a golf lover or you play golf, you go to these events. The Irish support these big tournaments. They love sport, whether it's golf or any other types of, they will be there at full force. Any opportunity to see some of the top golfers in the world playing on the island of Ireland is a huge opportunity. So there'll be a sellout crowd. We keep our fingers crossed there's some good weather. There'll be some fantastic golf. There'll be some great stories coming out of the tournament. Be great to have an Irish winner again, but may the best golfer win. But no, so we're really sort of proud of that. And as I said before, I mean, the Irish love their golf, but the Irish golfers out on tour over several decades have been such fantastic ambassadors for Irish golf, and also they've been instrumental in bringing major tournaments, but also raising the stature and bringing the Irish Open back to the level that it's at in terms of professional tournament play.
And I understand the president of the United States may show up because it's at the resort that his company, Trump Golf, bought. So talk about shining a light globally on
Absolutely. I
Ireland.
mean, all we can say about that is, I mean, there's going to be even more of a spotlight on Doomberg and on the golf, and I would expect sort of social media to light up. So I think there'll be very few people, if you're a golfer, that will not be aware of where the Irish Open is being played this year.
So let's talk about County Clare, because that is, that area in that southwest corridor of Ireland, and all these incredible events happen to be in that area. So talk a little bit about what people can do
Yeah.
there aside from all the golf.
I mean, there's just so much to see. I mean, I think County Clare and the whole southwest, they offer some of Ireland's most dramatic coastal scenery. I mean, at top of the list, and a real must-see for anybody, is obviously to take in the Cliffs of Moher. They're some of the highest sea cliffs in Europe, and if you really want to experience that height, you can obviously walk on the top, but go out on the water, take a boat tour down below the Cliffs of Moher. Fantastic. I mean, for active travellers, I love to hike, and hiking across the Burren, which is uniquely, and some describe it as sort of this otherworldly limestone landscape, is a fun place to explore. Listen to some traditional music. Some of the best traditional music is in the small town of Doolin. And then as you head further south, you've obviously got Killarney National Park, great for hiking and biking. Horse riding, you could take a boat cruise on the lakes of Killarney. And of course, you've got the famous Ring of Kerry to drive. And if you're a Star Wars fan, or if you just want to really get out there into the Atlantic, how about going out to Skellig Michael, which is that rugged island off the coast of Kerry? So you can take the boat, weather permitting, from Port Magee. And it's there that Skellig Michael was featured in some of the Star Wars movies, like The Force Awakens or The Last Jedi and The Rise of the Skywalker. So if anybody interested in Star Wars movies, it's a fantastic place to go. 600 steps up for the active traveller. And then I love places like Kenmare. I mean, if you there are lovely little towns, great food, great restaurants. Dingle's a great foodie destination, and that whole sort of Dingle Peninsula, Inch Strand, it's fabulous. So there's so much to do and see. And I think what people like is you can get off the beaten track. You don't have to have, a lot of prearranged plans, and that's part of the fun about exploring Ireland is. And if you want to stop and play golf on the way, that's also easy because, as there's plenty of golf courses on that route as well.
And don't you recommend perhaps when somebody travels over there,
Yeah.
because there's so much to offer, kind of maybe focus on a region instead of driving like all over the whole
Yes.
country? I mean, how would you organize a trip?
Well, if you're doing a general trip or a golf trip, if you're doing a golf trip, I would certainly focus on one, possibly two regions if you've got a week. So I would focus, as I said earlier, maybe on the north and the northwest, and maybe come down as far as sort of Galway, or look at the west and the west and the southwest and come around. Or of course, you could start in Dublin and head up to the east, up through County Louth, Ballantrae, and up to Ardglass, and around to Royal County down in Belfast, the Causeway Coastal Route. But in terms of planning a trip, for a golf trip specifically, I would say demand is high. You need to book early, particularly if you want to secure some of those All important tee times, particularly on the signature courses. I would enlist the help of a golf tour operator, the specialist. They can make it very easy for you, offer a turnkey solution, get you all of those tee times, organize transportation, make your dinner reservations, and just make it very easy for you. And also, if you're planning a general trip, again, I would certainly look to work with potentially with a golf tour operator or a travel advisor. But if nothing else, certainly do your research. Go to island.com to start putting some trip ideas together. But for the golfers, because most trips are custom curated, most of them are bespoke. I would definitely recommend working with a specialist.
And there are so many courses in Ireland. Some of them may not be the most familiar names in the world. However, they're incredible experiences, whether they're parkland courses or links courses. So, say you can't get on Royal County Down in 2027, you can get on perhaps in the future, but just because you might not get on some of these very prestigious, highly ranked links courses doesn't mean there aren't so many great opportunities to play
Oh, yeah.
golf, right? I mean, there's so many great golf courses there. They don't have to be the household name courses.
No, not at all. And I think, all regions offer those opportunities, but particularly, I mean, some of the in the Northwest, I mean, and Donegal, particularly, you've got lots of options there, whether it's Rosapenna, and Ballyliffin and others. And I think certainly, even if you're looking at some of the parkland courses, some amazing parkland courses. I mean, look at the K Club, look at Mount Juliet, Dromoland. I mean, there's so many great courses. So I don't think Royal Belfast, too, the oldest golf course in Ireland, I happen to be a member there, but goes back to 1881. If you're coming from Royal County Down on your way up to the Causeway Coastal Route, stop and play. It's a parkland course. It's running along the loch. They're spending a lot of money on the course at the moment. So there's lots of options. So if it's your first visit and you want the trophy courses, then definitely you should be working with a golf tour operator. But there's fantastic golf all around the country. And for those wanting to mix and match, you will always get on somewhere.
Love the variety of accommodations in Ireland. The B&Bs are so charming, the castles, the manor homes. I mean, there's really so much variety in a relatively small country. What about the culinary? I know Ireland has become just a much stronger culinary destination. Alison, how important is food, and are the restaurants now in the way Tourism Ireland markets Ireland?
It's really important. I mean, and we call it out in all of our sort of in our tourism marketing and our strategy. But I think the important thing is that food is so important to everybody. Wherever you travel in the world, you want to have a good culinary experience. And people do select destinations based on food, not alone, but so we are a foodie destination. I think over many years we've seen a real culinary revolution. We've been working with a lot of great local chefs over the years just to change the perception of Irish food. I think the key thing for Ireland is it's all about the ingredients. And if you start with great ingredients, but it's great seafood. We're an island, so you've got incredible seafood. We've got great dairy. If you start with great ingredients, then you can't really go too far wrong. And it's the simplicity also some of those dishes. So some of the dishes, the traditional dishes are now made with a more modern flair. But also I think the food experiences, it ranges the gamut. We want everyone to have a great experience right the way through from the Michelin star restaurants. And for those people interested in fine dining, we know there's definitely demand for that from North America. We have 25, 26 Michelin star restaurants right around the island of Ireland. But wherever people stay, whether it's in the B&B or going to the gastro pub or the small country, we want everyone to have a great experience. And then beyond the eating, there's all of the food experiences. So there's the cooking schools, the food tours, Sheena's food tour in Galway, Belfast food tours, Dingle. There's lots of different food tours all around the country. Foraging, going to a cooking school, learning to make brown bread. We've got a number of great cooking schools around the country as well. So there's lots of different opportunities, and the whole sort of catch and cook experiences. So Ireland is a foodie destination, and it's the one aspect of a trip when you survey people, it's the one aspect of a trip that people come back home being really positively surprised about. They go with fairly often with mediocre expectations because they don't, that's their perception. They come back thinking the food was amazing and everything tastes really good. Everything is sort of almost organic, you know, and there's a great sense of provenance around our food. And I think wherever you go, people are very proud to say that, you know, there are menus that are created using products and ingredients from within a 5 mile radius or a 10 mile radius. So it's really supporting local producers, cheesemakers, farmers, etc. So really, really important, and it's something we're putting a big spotlight on.
We mentioned the pride that the Irish have for their sport, for golf. They have a tremendous amount of pride for the culinary. I'm
They do.
seeing everywhere I go.
Absolutely, they do. And it's a lens within which many people, you know, experience a destination now. It's a great way. And I think it's become more important to people. When people are planning trips nowadays, they're much more intentional about where they travel to, the destinations they select. They're not looking for a generic experience. They want to go somewhere where there's an opportunity to engage in something that really interests them or really matters to them. So whether it's food, whether it's golf, whether it's health and wellness, whether it's hiking, or whether it's visiting some of the locations that they have been inspired by through movies. We call them the set jetters, for example. That is becoming increasingly important. So Ireland offers a great sort of array of experiences that fit into those sort of passion points, those interests of people, and even things like book clubs. People are inspired by the books they read, and we all know that Ireland has an incredible literary tradition and some great authors, both contemporary as well as historical. So there's lots of opportunities for us to really lean into those interests that potential travellers have.
Right, you've mentioned so many, but also folk music and just all kinds of music. There, I noticed when you go into different villages, they have so many festivals celebrating different genres of music as well.
Yes, absolutely, and we've just had the Flacíol na hÉireann, which is the largest celebration of Irish music and dance. Happens every year, and it moves around Ireland. And this year it was in Belfast, and it attracted like a record 1.6 million people. We have Halloween coming up. Ireland is the home of Halloween, and there's events and festivals happening for the whole month, not just in Meath, where the Púca Festival is, or in the city of Derry, Londonderry. It's great. Festivals and events, as you know, are great ways for people to connect with local communities. And people want to connect with locals. They want to feel they're immersed in a destination. They want to get under the skin of things. And Ireland is, we're very good at that. I mean, we're in a people business. We love hospitality, and we love talking to people, you know. So I think, attending these events and festivals, music or poetry festivals, whatever it happens to be, there's something for everybody. And they happen pretty much all year round, as people travel increasingly year round as well.
Alison Metcalf, it's always a pleasure. Continued success at Tourism Ireland, and let's go over the Emerald Isle and have some more fun. So many great golfers to see coming up at the Irish Open, and before that, the Walker Cup, and then Adair Manor for the Ryder Cup. I'm excited.
So am I. There is so much going on. We're really excited to share it with the world.
Really enjoyed our time together.
Thank you, Anne.
The Amgen Irish Open will be played at Trump International Golf Links Ireland in Doonbeg, Ireland, September 10th through the 13th. And you know, the Irish Open is much more than another stop on the DP World Tour. It is essentially Ireland's national golf championship. It was first played back in 1927, and there is enormous national pride attached to it. And I can't think of a better person to talk about the Irish Open and the fact that Doonbeg will be hosting it for the very first time than Brian Shaw, the head golf professional at Trump International Golf Links and Hotel in Doonbeg, County Clare, Ireland. Brian has been head golf pro there since 2000, so that's 26 years. And I know this because I've been fortunate enough to be a member at Doonbeg since the very beginning. Hey, Brian, welcome to the show.
Well, Annie, it's great to be here. Great to be here. Look at this beautiful sunshine. I'm going to look out the window of the marquee here, and it's golf course is in great shape, and the excitement in the village is off the charts. It has just it's just captivated everybody for the last year, and now with only a few weeks away, it's every kid, The cows are nearly talking about it. It's just it's unbelievable. It's brilliant. And I think for a rural setting, like ours, it's and a setting, as I said, you've been here since the start, like myself, and how the locals embraced golf tourism for the last 25 years, and I just think it's such an accolade for them, and a great thank you, and basically, it tells every rural community in Ireland, we represent every rural community, and tells them all that you can host our national event. A bit of hard work, but it's because I think a lot of the times the tour tends to be a bit city centric, but they took a chance on us, and the community bought into it, and it's a sellout. It's an absolute sellout. So it'll be just phenomenal.
It looks like it's a gorgeous day, just stunning at Doonbeg. And I try to get there every May, and I saw the changes to the golf course. Talk about this championship golf course because it was in an amazing shape in May, and I'm sure it's just even better now.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Like Scott Maher and his team, and they're the real unsung heroes of this. I mean, it's and I say about all superintendents, like Brian McDonough up in Lahinch, and John Bambury and Ballybunion, and Jardine in Tralee, and Murphy's down in Waterville and stuff. So I mean, they're the ones that make golf tourism tick, really. To be fair, I mean, yes, you have personalities like myself and Brian O'Callaghan and the pros that sometimes are there to greet and meet everybody, but it's a superintendents and their green staff, their teams that just work so hard, know the land. The elements are against them most of the time, with winds and storms and salt damage and all that. But they've turned out a golf course, and has Brian McDonagh in Lahinch, which is hosting the Walker Cup the week before the Irish Open. So,
That's right.
like our little county is just a buzz. It's the focus of golf in Europe for 2 weeks, and it'll yeah. So it's in great shape. And it's actually the biggest build in Irish Open history, from a marquee structures and all that type of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, again, as I say, where there's a will, there's a way.
It's such an inspirational story. And before we preview the upcoming Irish Open, I've watched Doonbeg, Brian, evolve over the years. And, from your perspective, how has the golf course and the entire golf experience changed since those early, early days?
I think in the early years, it was pretty raw. We all knew that it was tough, and we had to soften it. And when the Trump family purchased Doonbeg, they brought Martin Hawtrey in, and Martin, being the leading, pretty much was the leading expert in links golf, and he was the R&A's lead designer, and had already done the redesign at Lahinch, so was very familiar with the terrain and the weather conditions that the west of Ireland and County Clare get. So he was the ideal man to come in here and soften and let the golf course flow. I mean, Greg, to be fair to him, had some stunning holes. He designed some unbelievably great golf holes, and but Martin, being the links expert, he was the one that actually enabled the golf course to flow much better, and it's a beautiful experience. I mean, from the pathways, the vistas we get, that's and to be fair, the Trump family invested heavily, and allowed Martin, carte blanche to go in and focus on the experience, the golf experience. And so, we've been very fortunate over the years. We've had some great owners. Obviously the Darbys and the Long families, from Kiowa, from Charleston, were fantastic. We're like family with them still. I met Buddy and Tammy at the Masters, went down, spent some time with them in Charleston, and Leonard and Anne Long have been here for the last few weeks. So, I mean, we're in touch, and then the Trumps have been absolutely magnificent towards us and really again embrace the community. And I think that's a there's a big theme here really with this Irish Open, and it's about the community of Doonbeg. Yes, the golf course and the resort is fantastic and the membership is great and all that, but the community is the one that makes this thing sing, you know. From the Tubbertys and the Morrisseys and the Comerfords and all the local families that really again embraced it, allowed it happen from day one. You know, the four farms that gave up their land. You know, I mean, there's a multitude of great stories that you know is culminating here and at this point. You know, and that to us is, I mean, that's very special. You know, it is emotional because you've been party to the whole thing. You know, 26 years, you know, anywhere is a big part of of your life, and to be that vested in the local community and in the golf course, which is, you know, I've worked with Martin Hawtrey and Scott Maher, and we've all had our inputs and you know, and what we've, you know, our experiences, I suppose, what we've seen and what we've heard from members and various things like that, and we've aided Martin in his design, and it's been just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful journey.
Brian, you are really the face of Doonbeg, and I interviewed you when you were the head pro at Adare Manor. So I've known you even before you went over to Doonbeg. And on July 9th, 2002, designer Greg Norman and Padraig Harrington were featured in that most memorable exhibition match. Over 3,000 people attended the festivities. I remember it like it was yesterday because Buddy Darby, who I adore, hired me to do an interview with Greg Norman. What are your memories of that day?
It was fantastic. Actually, Greg played great that day. You know, Greg actually, I think he beat Padraig that day,
Yeah, he did.
And it was, you know, we had the little farmhouse, Tony Pender's little farmhouse. That was our clubhouse, and you couldn't swing a cat in it, like, to be fair. And but we then the village, then we had the party down the village and the fireworks, and it was, well, again, it was something that they'd never seen in this part of the world, and it's really, yeah. I mean, yes, we all I've we looked at we have pictures, obviously. Down the walls of the day, and it
And that
was
painting,
we
that
all look a
beautiful
tiny
mural.
bit younger now, to be fair. And the mural, yes, and you're front and center. But we've, yeah, I mean, the amazing thing too is that pretty much all the staff that were there that day, 90% of them are still working here.
Incredible.
And that's a great story, you know. I mean, that's in itself, you know. I mean, we've taken huge pride, and again, you know, the Derbys and the Longs and the Trumps have all given us a bit of ownership back. You know, I mean, let's take it on. This is your workplace. This is, you know, it's just not clock a card and do a 9 to 5 and leave. It's different. We're all emotionally attached to the property, and I think that gives it its little bit of soul. That gives it something different, and I know the pros will experience that when they're here. You know, I mean, it's we take hospitality to a different level, and we do it our own way, though, Anne. You know, I mean, you know, I mean, think of the friends that you've made over the years, the Michael Waters, and you know, everybody that you would have met that would have you know, taking care of Scott and yourself when you came, and but now they're family to you. You know, they're great, great pals, and that's the way we try and treat everybody. You know, and it's a Doonbeg. It is quite. I'm not saying it's unique, but it's something that it happens quite naturally to people here. You know.
Yeah, a lot of people thought who were there from the very beginning that they would be let go when Donald Trump, before he even became president, right? When Trump Golf bought the property, but you all are still there. You and
Yeah,
Joe
it was
Russell
quite
and
the, yeah.
Brendan Murphy and Marie and you know, there's so many people who make the place, it's like family there. And the best move I think they made were keeping you all on. And you've been there ever since, all of them. And it continues to feel like it's family. And the members and visitors feel that every time they visit Doonbeg.
100%. And it was the transition was seamless, absolutely seamless. And actually, from a friendship point of view, Eric and Don and they've all become very, very close friends, and are on the end of a phone if we need anything at all times, and always check in with us, and their visits. We look forward to their visits, like we always did from when Buddy and Leonard were coming as well, So yeah, I mean, it is a great, great place to work. It's a great place to come and play golf, obviously too. But there's a lovely camaraderie amongst the staff. We do anything. Like, I mean, I'm not saying I'll be in cooking steaks, but I give it a shot if you need it. But yeah, I mean, you do anything for anybody here, and that's lovely to see. And what's really lovely to see is now the kids, the family, the young sons and daughters of our colleagues coming to work here now, and it's the second generation, and that's a testament in itself.
Well, talk about the village, and as you say, it's such a community there. The families who've been there for generations, how are they embracing this Irish Open?
Well, the excitement level is, as I said earlier on, is second to none. It's nearly like an All-Ireland final, an All-Ireland football final or hurling final that Clare would be competing in. But it's they actually, it's funny when you go down the village and you actually see them all painting their houses. So the houses are all getting fresh paint, the hanging baskets, they're out, I mean, the community have their own Irish Open committee that have, to freshen up the village, and that's lovely to see, that's the community doing that themselves. That had nothing to do with the DP World Tour or ourselves or anybody else, the county council or whatever it is. That was the locals getting together themselves. So that in a nutshell tells you how much and how much pride they have in their village and in the community, and that I think is it's lovely to see. And they're putting down, they're putting on bands and parties every night, and they've a marquee, of course, down there, and they'll do all their food trucks, and so that'll be the place to be, actually, is because let the players, because I'd say it'll be great fun up here, but then come maybe 7 or 8 o'clock, a lot of the players will go to bed early, and I'd think this place up here will probably quieten down, and then we'll all move down to the village, and I'd say that the fun and will be down there, and it'll be fantastic. And every day you're hearing stories of an uncle coming home, or somebody that's off in Australia or in the US or over in England, and they're all coming home for the event. So it's turning out like Christmas in a way. I mean, this is, yeah, it's brilliant. And that sense of, as I said, that sense of community, makes it all worthwhile.
Well, I'm so excited, just thrilled to have gotten an invitation from the Amgen CEO to play in the Pro-Am on September 9th. I'm going to be there all week. I was planning on being there anyway to cover it as a broadcaster and journalist, but now I get to play in the Pro-Am, Brian. So I'm excited.
That'd be brilliant. Jeez, would you might even get Rory. Would you get Rory, do you think?
Wouldn't
And
that be
it's actually a
great?
great, it's a great field. There's, Rory, Shane, Padraig, the Irish are all there, but pretty much most of the European Ryder Cup team will be around as well. Luke Donald is playing as well, and then you have the Tyrrell, John Rahm is playing, Tyrrell Hatton's playing. We have a couple of few more to be announced over the next couple of weeks, I believe, and I think they'll be crossing the Atlantic, some of them, so which would be exciting. I think there's a I think next week we'll probably have a big announcement, and probably the one after. But it looks like it'll probably be the strongest Irish Open field in a long, long, long time. And of course, there's one little story, which is not a little story, but a huge story. And we go back to that 2002 match when Padraig played Greg to open the golf course. And now Padraig will break the record for consecutive appearances at an Irish Open. It'll be his 31st consecutive Irish Open, which is quite phenomenal. But he breaks Seve Ballesteros' record of 30. So amazing story will be celebrated. Padraig on the first tee on Thursday morning when he does that, it will be madness. Yeah, it'll be fantastic.
He's fabulous. One of my favorite golf personalities of all time. I adore Padraig. He's just, first of all, I love watching his videos on social
Yeah, they're
media.
brilliant.
He's a great instructor and just such a legendary player and represents Ireland to a T. Just incredible. And I'll never forget, he came to the reception that I worked on with the ambassador last November. Padraig was in the United States that day and agreed to fly over and be part of our panel along with Paul McGinley for our ambassador to US reception in Dublin at his residence. And he got on that plane and he flew over to Dublin and his home, but he went right to the ambassador's residence, which was incredible. So, and he's Padraig is one of the legends in my book, Life on the Green, Lessons in Wisdom from Legends of Golf, and gave me just so much incredible material, great wisdom from Padraig Harrington. I'm thrilled for Padraig Harrington that this will
Yeah.
be his 31st straight Irish
And
Open, and it's happening at Doonbeg.
that was a great night actually. And that was the 20th of November. And I know that because it was my 60th birthday
That's
that we
right.
were there. We did a little bit of cake and the whole lot. And it was a great night actually, in fairness. And to have Paul McGinley and Padraig bouncing off each other is quite phenomenal. You know, they are so good together. It's an amazing act. Like, you know, they're fabulous, you know.
That was a very special night. And thanks again to Ambassador Walsh and to his lovely wife, Lynn, who just hosted just an incredible party and remembered your 60th birthday for sure,
It is, yeah. And actually,
along
they're
with
down.
everything else.
Ed's going to play in the Pro-Am as well.
Oh, and that's, I heard, that's exciting. So, yes, the champions associated with the Irish Open, Brian Shaw, are just legendary. Seve, Nick Faldo, Bernhard Langer, Jose Maria Alefable, Padraig, as we mentioned, Shane, who won as an amateur, right, in
That's right.
2009,
Yeah, in
in his
Balfrey.
European Tour debut. Just
That's
great
correct.
story. Jon Rahm, and of
Yeah.
course, defending champion Rory McIlroy. What does it mean to the Irish Open for Rory to play in the Irish Open?
Well, just flashback 12 months ago, and the scenes at the K Club were electrifying. It was, you know, he is the man when it comes to golf in Ireland right now. And I mean, his charisma every time he walks onto a golf course, you know, the excitement among young and old, really. The K Club, you know, it was the kids that were going absolutely bananas when he holed that putt to get into the playoff. And you know, I mean, he's electrifying. We all know that. Like, it's Rory. Like, I mean, he's going to keep you on you know, at the edge of your chair at all times.
Going back to the players who will be competing, what kind of player do you think will win at Doonbeg? What do they need to have in their arsenal to have the best chance of hoisting up that Irish Open trophy?
If we get the conditions that I hope we get, then somebody with great hands, somebody that understands how to pitch a golf ball, that has extremely good touch around the greens, will have a massive advantage. It's you won't, you know, you're not going to go out there and hit 16 or 17 greens in regulation. It's just not going to happen. And some of our little swales and all that stuff around the green demands a really cool touch. And I know there'll be obviously, you know, 15 or 20 players who will have that little bit extra. And I would like to see somebody like that coming out. Now, I'm looking at, when you take John Rahm being a links specialist, he's very good around the greens, you've Shane's another, he hasn't been in a great run of form, but he an Irish Open is something that kind of G's him up. And he's such a magnificent pitcher of a golf ball. As is Patrick Reed, he probably has one of the best short games that I've ever seen. I was lucky to watch him in the Masters this year playing with Shane. And I was actually in awe of how he handled himself around the greens with beautiful style. So I think somebody like that has that really, really strong touch around the greens will be favored here. And hopefully it's a fellow with an Irish accent, Padraig, there you go. And I tell you one thing about Padraig, he'll certainly believe in his heart and soul that he can win it. And it would be, for me, that would be, the sporting story of the century if he landed in here and won his Irish Open on his 31st appearance, so it's kind of, yeah, I think the golf course is going to throw up a few surprises. I think I think it will definitely, it'll be interesting seeing the practice rounds. What sort of does it scare them in certain areas? I'll be very, very interested in watching that. I think there's certain tee shots you can take on. I think there's certain tee shots you got to be very, very, like number six, you got to be so careful, and yeah, it's I think it's going to fascinate them. I really think the golf course is going to fascinate them.
Prevailing wind, course knowledge. Talk a little bit about prevailing wind and the winds can come in all different directions, of course, based on the fact that it's Ireland and you're right along the Atlantic Ocean. But what should the players know about the wind there?
Well, let it be your friend, and that's key. Use it, don't fight it. Holding up against the breeze sometimes can be the wrong thing here, because you're in there's quite a few valleys and ups and downs, and the wind can knock the ball down more so than anything else here. So it's not like a wind in Port Marnock or in County Down and on the East Coast. The West Coast wind is completely different, and a ball can get knocked down really easily, and especially downwind. You think you're going to take an extra two clubs downwind or whatever. Sometimes it might be only one club here because the ball gets knocked down a little bit. I think they have to be very, very careful of the wind.
Great advice, Brian Shaw, coming from no better
Yeah.
person than this golf course. And wouldn't it be great if Padraig, who has played Doonbeg many times, I'm sure, through the years since that opening match against Greg Norman, he knows the wind in Ireland, all different regions in Ireland, and he knows Doonbeg for sure. Brian is known to be the most stylish golf pro in all the land. Who picks out those incredible glasses, Brian?
My darling wife, Kyra, and she does a lot of the fashion work in our house, and it's always been a thing. I like wearing cool colored glasses, and it's trying to get your hands on different colors now is the hard one. I have a green pair. I should have worn those today, to be honest with you. And I might I'll definitely wear them for the Irish Open, the green ones.
Well,
And
can't wait to
so
see you. It's my love to
great.
Kyra. You're very special in our hearts here in the States, and I can't wait to be over there for the Irish Open.
Love you, Anne. Love it. Thanks a million. Bye. Bye-bye.
My thanks to Allison Metcalf, to Brian Shaw, and to Melody Camoli in production. As the great Irish poet W.B. Yeats once said, "There are no strangers here, only friends you haven't met." Well, that's exactly the kind of welcome one gets on every visit to the Emerald Isle. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to visiting with you next time, right here on Sports Interview with Anne Liguori.